Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Dr. Atola Bear, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Well, thank you. It's already evening this side. It's not yet evening that side, no?
Well, we are 1 hour behind you, actually. So it's about 4 p.m.
Yeah, so you're almost in the evening. Well, the sun is just set here and it's beginning to be dark. So thank you so much.
Really?
It's going to be dark. Wow. I think in about 20 minutes or so, it will we would have had our sunset fair and square.
Wow.
Now, we're talking about renal colic this afternoon. Kidney stones, also known as renal calculi or urolithiasis, are a common disorder affecting many people. And so today, the lesson will give us more information about this disorder and how to avoid or manage it effectively. Now, Doc, please tell us more about kidney stones. What's that?
Well, you're very right there, brother. One out of every 10 adults will have a urinary stone at some time in life. So that is pretty a lot of persons that will have these problems. The interesting thing is that we may have it and not know because the body is taking care of it. But when it gets out of hand, then it becomes a real problem. Yes, renal colic, also called kidney stones. I think most of us know it as kidney stones. That is more familiar with us. So what is this? It's a solid concretion of dissolved minerals in urine. So they typically form inside the kidneys or ureters. So the ureters, that is the tubing that passes out to discharge urine. And kidney stones may come out, just flow out, and then we don't even know what is going on and it's discharged. But because they vary in size, it could be as small as grains of sand, and we're told in medicine that it could be as large as grapefruit. So kidney stones typically leave the body by passing in the urine stream, and many stones are formed and passed out without causing symptoms. So we may not just know that anything is going on. However, if the stones should grow to sufficient size before passage, that is when problem will start. So in order for the stones to pass out, they may just block the ureter, they may block some part of the kidney, and then pain, that is the first symptoms that some people will have to realize that they have kidney stones. It will cause real severe pain, and most especially the pain may be felt at the back, the lower abdomen, the groin, and other area in that groin area. And it may be associated with nausea, with vomiting, because the kidney, of course, is associated with the intestinal tract. And there may be some underlying conditions that are responsible for kidney stones, and there are several of them. We won't bother to go into all that now, because if we do have kidney stones, yes, we need proper diagnosis to know, because you know there can be other reasons for pain in the lower flank, and there may be other problems that may be causing problem in other things that may be causing problems in that area. Now, if one out of 10 adults do have urinary stone at some time in their lifetime, as I said, well, we need to pay a little attention, if more attention to it.
Before you go further, Doc, just to clarify one or two things. So 1 in 10, would it be prevalent in males or females?
I understand that it is more prevalent. I hope I'm right. I think it's more prevalent in male than female.
Okay. All right. And then the other question I wanted to just clarify, when you say kidney stones, are these actual stones or what are we talking about here?
They become stones, actually, they are called concretions because they become solid concretes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, they actually look like stones. And I've seen pictures of kidney stones that have been surgically removed, and they do look like stones. Those who have them feel them, they feel like stones, but they are dissolved minerals, but they have come together and become hard like stones, really solid. And they really form things that are stony in nature. If you touch them, I've never touched one, but those who have touched them say they do feel and like stone. I've had a client of mine had stones removed and told me about it, and she even sent me a picture, but that's some time ago. I don't have the picture again. So it does. They look like stones. They feel like stones. They are hard like stones.
Ooh,
but
wow.
They are primarily calcium that have solidified to form what is as hard as stones.
Interesting. All right, you can go ahead, Doctor. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. So when we look at how we can prevent it, that would tell us a lot about the things that can cause kidney stone. And in natural medicine, you know, we do prevention a lot more than cure. And when we know the cause of a problem, we are halfway through solving the problem. It's when the cause of a problem is not known that it's more disturbing. But when we know this is what is causing this problem, then we go the opposite direction of removing the cause of the problem and then do what we can to help the situation as soon as possible so that we can have relief. So one of the things, primary things causing renal colic is not drinking enough water. You know, water is not expensive except at the airport.
Yes.
That just used to amaze me. But anyway, water should be all over the place. And there isn't any civilization or group of persons living in any place. You must have water to settle down in that place. So water is universal and it must be available. But humanity do not drink enough. And this is what is the major cause of kidney stones, not drinking enough water. Once we don't drink enough water, the concentration of the substances in our urine will be more. But with adequate amount of water, we are able to wash those things out very quickly. So we run the high risk of having kidney stones if we are not drinking enough water. So the question will be, what is enough? Enough is at least 1.5 or 2 liters per day. If you are familiar with the use of cups, that's about 8 to 9 cups of water. A cup is about 8 ounces. So we're talking about, it's not much. But the problem is that for some reason, we don't like to drink water. I've met several people that say, I don't like to drink water. I don't want to drink water. And they don't drink water.
And I've had many people say that, yeah.
Go ahead.
I've heard many people, talking about they don't like drinking water, etc. It is very important to actually listen to this conversation if you're out there.
Yeah, it's very important to drink water. And let me say that water is H2O. Anything colored is no more water. And that's where many people feel. They drink soda. They drink beverages, and they think that is okay to take the place of water, but not at all. The amount of water we need to drink must still be water, not water in something else. They will help to some extent, but you know, whatever we have put inside water, they are substances, and they must be digested. But when we take just water, water will help to clean out the body, especially the gastrointestinal tract. And of course, every cell in our body must have water. The ideal types of good water, distilled water. But please, let me say something because I have mentioned distilled water where I work and practice. And some have gone to buy battery water because sometimes they call it distilled water, but that is not distilled water. In fact, that is acid. that is acid that is put inside battery. And I've actually had somebody try to drink it. And of course, thank God for charcoal. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we must drink enough water, 2 liters, 1.5 to 2 liters per day. So it's not that we sit down and drink it once and for all. We don't need to do that. We just drink a little at a time. And that little at a time is convenient once we get into the habit. I know it's for some people, it's a habit that they have to form. It may take some effort in the beginning, but once they get to it and they continue with it, they can continue to drink water as a habit. First thing in the morning, when we wake, we drink water before breakfast. And an hour after meal, we drink more water so that we have drunk up to 9 cups, 8 cups, 2 liters per day. How do we know we have taken enough water? When our urine is clear in color. If it's yellow, no, that we are not taking enough water. That is if we are not taking vitamin B complex, then the urine will be yellow. But if we have not taken that, then the urine should be very clear. It's as close to the color, and water doesn't have color really, mm-hmm. of water. It should be clear like water. So that is number one. That is so important. And that's why I have spent a little time talking about water. There are other things that will cause renal colic, and that is milk, animal milk, and cheese. You know, milk, the cow's milk, was formulated for the calf, for their speedy development. The moment a cow gives birth to calves, in a few minutes, they start jumping up and start walking. They need the high amount of calcium in cow's milk. But we human beings don't need as much. The human breast milk contains 1/3 of the calcium that cow's milk contains. If we continue to drink all this milk and eat all this cheese, then we're going to have too much calcium. And if we don't drink enough water to wash it out very quickly, then excessive calcium will become the prime material for the development of urinary stones.
Goodness.
So, that is one important thing. Mm. And for those of us that take calcium supplements, we have to be careful because, in fact, it is those supplements that usually will solidify if they're in excess and become kidney stones. Wow. The other thing, very important, you want to say something?
No. I'm listening. I'm actually shocked at some of the things that you are saying, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's sad.
So one other thing that will cause kidney stones is lack of physical activity. Do you see that? It's interesting. You know, with exercise, calcium is deposited in the bones as soon as they are available.
Okay.
And it's needed for strength. But if we sit down on the table all day long, then calcium levels increase and promote stone formation.
Wow.
So physical exercise is so important.
Hang on. So just say that again. So you are saying that physical exercise will turn calcium or direct
into the
bones?
It will deposit calcium in the bones.
I get you. All right.
Which is where it is needed. So if we do not exercise, then it's the blood and urine will carry the calcium and are about and deposit them in the wrong places. So it could be in the kidney that is trying to filter the blood. There's no exercise going on. The calcium is not encouraged to go into the bones where they should be deposited and used. So they are in the blood, they deposit elsewhere where they are not needed. And so that has been found to be one of the reasons where we have stone formation taking place in the kidney and in the urine carrying about and then deposit in there.
Yeah.
So you see that all of these laws of health, they all work together in the long run. We may not even know the extent to which we are having the benefit until one is taking the topics one by one like this.
Yes, yes.
Then one will see this benefit in clearer light. Well, the other thing is meat eating. Eating meat. is either we decrease it significantly because the excess protein in meat diet increases the elimination of calcium with urine, and then it says we are predisposed to stone formation. Do you know that the countries that have high animal food, dairy products, they are also the countries that are high in osteoporosis, which is the losing of bone strength, and the body starts bending over because there isn't the stamina to hold the spinal bones up. There is a decrease in the strength and eroding and so forth.
Sorry, Doc, you're saying the countries that have what?
That have high dairy product intake.
Okay.
Denmark, for instance. Mm. They are also the countries that have high osteoporosis. And that just is interesting, to say the least, because they have a lot to eat in the dairy products.
Yeah.
But then instead of having the strength that is being promoted as advantages of having animal products like milk, like the meat itself and chicken and so forth, but they actually drain the body of the needed essential minerals that will balance the calcium intake.
Yeah.
And the calcium will be high and it will predispose a person to stone formation.
Wow. Wow.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, final thoughts, Doc, in the next 2 minutes and then we close.
Okay. Next 2 minutes is that we follow what is called an anti-stone diet. We increase water, vegetable fiber, potassium, the B vitamins, and we stop drinking alcohol. That's what I say. Literature usually say decrease. I say stop.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
high protein, cholesterol. If we take vitamin C supplements, we should be careful.
If you're taking
not more than 1,000 milligrams per day, if there is indication of anything like stone formation.
So,
and of course, low salt intake.
Sorry, you're talking about which intake?
That if we take vitamin C supplements.
I get you. Okay.
Yeah. We should be careful not to take high dose if there's any indication that one could have kidney stone.
Yeah. It's this health thing. Yeah. No, we are trying. We're trying. Well, Doc, I must say thank you so much. I think I've learned quite a bit today, I must say. I've been taking notes, I've been writing down, and it's hectic, and I think we've got to practice some of these things, especially I think one of the key takeaways in all of the talks that you've given us is that water is central.
Yes.
Water, very central, and even today you emphasized it, and on the past conversations, you've also emphasized the importance of water on our bodies. So I think that among many things, you know, talk about calcium and all of those things, we must not forget to take sufficient amount of water.
Absolutely.
Well, Doc, I must thank you so much for your time, and blessings to you, and happy Sabbath ahead.
And I wish you the same. God bless you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.